Last week we started looking at the trial of Jesus, and we concentrated on the Jews and the miscarriage of justice there. Tonight I want to continue that study of Jesus' trial, but emphasize the trial before Pilate. Now we did a little bit last week with Pilate, but it didn't emphasize it that much. So I want to go back to chapter 18 and just review something very quick, and then we'll get into our text beginning at chapter 19. Going back, I just need to find out where I started here. Verse 28, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. It was early, and themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? Pilate was in a position of authority. He was the ruler of the Jews. It was his responsibility to keep justice in the land, even ahead of keeping peace. That means that he had a responsibility of dealing with sin. Now, he wouldn't, not being a believer, he wouldn't classify things as sin, but as an offense against the law of man. Nonetheless, every one of us from various times in our lives will have a responsibility of dealing with sin in the lives of others. Our necessity of dealing with it depends upon the authority that has been given to us. As parents, we have God-given authority to deal with the sins of children. If we are in a position of government, we have an authority to deal with the sins of the people if it's only according to man's law. But depending upon the amount of authority that we have this responsibility. Dealing with sin is not a fun subject. In the 30 years of ministry here, probably the most depressing times that I ever had was in dealing with the sins of others. We have had to enact church discipline twice, and it broke my heart each time we did it. If there was any way out of doing it, I would have chosen that, but this was the authority that God has given to the leadership of the church to enact righteousness and enact justice. And we had to do it. Pilate had a responsibility. And we see here, they're bringing Jesus to him. And he goes out and he asks, according to verse 29, what's the accusation? Why bother bringing him to me? And as we noted last week, the Jews... he hauled around, bringing up various things. And finally they said, well, he's made himself out to be the king of the Jews. And at this point, Pilate, not wanting to do anything, recognized that he had a problem and he had to exercise some justice. Verse 31, Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Well, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. I want you to note at this point in time, even though things are heading south as far as Pilate and the exercise of justice is going, God is still accomplishing his will. Scripture is being fulfilled. And so the question comes up before Pilate, are you really a king of the Jews? And they get into a discussion about what constitutes a kingdom and who is the king and so forth. And finally, Pilate, after weighing the evidence, verse 38, saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto him, I find no fault at all, in him no fault at all. The at all, notice, is in italics. It's simply not in the Greek text. It's not to be found. Note that saying, but think about it for just a second. I find in him nothing amiss. So if you found nothing amiss, what should you have done? Let them go. That's it. But you have a custom that I should release unto you, one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? You make the choice. I want to get rid of the responsibility that I have of exercising justice and dealing with the sin of these Jewish leaders. Well, they said Barabbas, and Pilate is scratching his head, and that's not the response that I wanted. I'm going to have to deal with this some more. Verse 19. Then chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Wait a minute. Hold the bus. Didn't you just say, I find in him no fault? Why then would you scourge him? Well, he was hoping to placate the Jews. Wait a minute. Those are the guys in the wrong, not Jesus. Isn't that kind of backwards? And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate stood there and said, Okay. Have a little fun with this, in whom I find no fault. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Second time. He says, This guy is completely innocent. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him and cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Wait a minute, I was hoping that you would see that I just scourged him, I mocked him. Isn't that enough for you guys? Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him. Put it in a little bit better English. You take him and crucify him. Now that may sound on the surface like Pilate is giving them authority to crucify him. Actually, it is not. But a third time he says, I find no fault in him. And the issue is this. Who has the authority to crucify? Look at verse 7. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. We have a law, he should die, but you have to be involved in it. And what he's saying in verse 6 is, Can't you guys do it on your own? And their answer is, No, you got to be involved in it too. And guess what? The will of God is being accomplished. Despite all the injustice there. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. Why was he more afraid? Because of this title, the Son of God. Well, the accusation was he's made himself the King of the Jews. Roman beliefs, when an emperor died, he became a god. That's why the emperors were worshipped while they were living, because once they're gone, they're going to be gods. And you better be on good with the emperor while he's living, because when he's a god, you don't want to be at odds with him. So when he hears that Jesus is the Son of God, that's a big problem. How am I going to treat this guy? If he truly is one who is going to be a God and a king, better make sure of this. And so he becomes more afraid. Verse 9, and he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Where in the world did you come from? If you're a God, you came down from heaven. If you're just an ordinary man, well, then I don't have to worry about you. And Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Hey, I'm asking you a question, and I'm in charge here. The response of Jesus is interesting. He answered, you could not have any power at all against me except it were given thee from above. What's he talking about? Well, the Apostle Paul, a number of years later, is going to clarify that for us. Romans chapter 13, he says, there are no powers except God and those to whom God delegates power. And human government has been delegated authority to exercise justice in the earth. And he cautions Christians then, okay, listen to the government. If you do what the government says, you're not going to have any problems with that. But that's what Jesus is talking about. Look, God has put you in a position of authority. Yes, it's granted to you by the state, but God put human government in this planet way back pre-flood. You could have no power at all except it were given to you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you, he hath the greater sin. And from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And you can see the turmoil that Pilate is in. I'm dealing with a guy who says he's going to be a god. I need to be right with him. I'm dealing with a crowd that says he's not God. And I'm ruling over them, and they're making my life miserable. And I need to be right with them. What in the world do I do? Although I said three times, I find no fault in him. The answer should have been pretty obvious. But it wasn't. And now they're saying, look, if you let this guy go, you're basically committing treason. Verse 13. And Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth again and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold, your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? And at this point, I think Pilate is convinced, hey, everything that he said is true. He's got a kingdom, but it's not of this world. It's from out of this world. He is the Son of God. I think he's really buying into that at this point. And they answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now, who said that? The chief priest answered that. What was the hope of Israel, their coming king, the Messiah? And the chief priests are saying, we don't care about the Messiah. We want this guy gone. Then delivered he them, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. I've tried and I tried and I tried. But you've twisted my arm. And I guess I have to relent. No, you don't. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title, put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Significant. Hebrew. So that every Jewish person there would recognize what was going on. Greek. For every non-Hebrew person, the common language of the trade of most people. And Latin, the official language of the kingdom. Literally, so everybody there would know exactly who Jesus was. Verse 21, then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Don't put that up there. That's incriminating to us. Put it up there that he lied, which he didn't, because I find no fault in him at all. Pilate answers, what I've written, I've written. Guys, this is all I'm holding you accountable for. Deal with it. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout, and they said therefore amongst themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, who it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And once again, God is accomplishing his purposes, despite all the injustice. What happened to Pilate after this incident? Well, if you read through the rest of John, you won't find his name. If you read through the book of Acts, you won't find his name. If you look through the New Testament epistles, you're not going to find that he's doing anything else. If you look in church history, you're not going to find much. Or even secular history. A couple of years after this incident, there was an incident with some Samaritans. And he was called to Rome to vindicate what he did. History is not very detailed. But he never came back to Judea and took again his position of leadership. He stayed in Rome. Some say that he stayed in Rome because he was put on trial and he was found guilty and he was deposed from his position of leadership. Some say he was just so happy to get away from it all that he just basically retired. Nobody really knows for certain. A man by the name of Eusebius, who was writing in the early 4th century AD, so about 300 years later, said that tradition has it that Pilate committed suicide. Now, there is no historical evidence for that. In fact, Eusebius himself said this is only based upon tradition. I can't find any evidence for it. So whether he did or didn't, who knows? The fact of the matter is, here was a man in a position of great leadership, and he didn't follow his God-given responsibilities. And we find him doing nothing afterwards. Two things I want you to get from this tonight. One, a note of encouragement. That's this. Even when sin is allowed to flourish, God can still accomplish his will. We saw that a couple of places, and the scripture was fulfilled. Do not be completely forlorn when evil seems to prevail. Isn't our government a wonderful thing today? Don't you just have the highest regard for those in position of leadership, regardless of political affiliation? And there are some good men and women out there. I don't mean that everybody is corrupt. The fact of the matter is, government's not doing its job of effecting justice. This revelation that it looks like the Supreme Court is going to turn back Roe v. Wade. While it is a welcome thing for you and I, it should have been something that was never even necessary. The way I understand it is the court back in the 70s said, if religion, science, and philosophy can't determine when life begins, neither should the court. And therefore, we don't know if what's in the womb is living or not. And therefore, a person should be able to decide. Exactly. If you don't know what it is, don't you think it would be prudent to say we better take care and protect it? And now, we might be getting closer to being on the right track, and there are millions of people that are upset that this is happening, that we should even try to preserve the life of the unborn. And what's really interesting about that is the argument now is viability. Is what's in the womb able to be viable outside of the womb in that state? And they're saying, look, if you have a child that's only a month or two in development, if you take it out of the womb, it can't survive by itself. Therefore, there should be no harm in taking its life. Interestingly enough, if you have a bald eagle egg and break it purposely, that embryo on the inside can't survive out of the shell. But there's thousands of dollars of fine for doing that. Where is the logic in all of that? And yet, even though injustice is rampant today, God is still accomplishing His will. While we may be upset at what's going on, don't be discouraged. Secondly, that God will accomplish His will is no excuse for not dealing with sin when we have the responsibility to do so. We run into a little bit of a problem that's greater than our finite minds can handle. The argument someone might make is this. Well, if God was accomplishing His purposes, and it was necessary for Jesus to die by crucifixion, and it was, because that's what the Scripture predicted, how can Pilate be held responsible for doing what he did? He had to do it, or Jesus would not have died. That seems like a logical conclusion, doesn't it? And I've heard people use this argument, believers use this argument in other areas. Well, so-and-so did this, which wasn't right, but for example, David and Bathsheba. You know what came out of David and Bathsheba? Solomon. You wouldn't have most of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon in your Bible if David hadn't committed fornication. So therefore, how can he be held responsible for it? Once you go back and look at chapter 19, verse 11 again, and there we find the answer to the question. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee, hath the greater sin. But what's he saying? Pilate, you have sinned too. God holds accountable those who have been empowered to deal with sin and fail to do so. And therefore, when we have opportunity and we have responsibility of dealing with sin in the lives of others, we don't do it. God holds us accountable. Yes, the Jews had the greater sin, but so did Pilate. Whoever commits the sin, they have the greater offense than us who are responsible in dealing with it. But if we don't deal with it, we have sin too. We need to deal with it. As hard as it is, as difficult, as unenjoyable, as heartbreaking as it is, it's something we must do. Let's pray. Father, may we not faint at the difficult things in the will of God. May we stand true to what is right. With grace and mercy, yes. But with truth and justice as well. That we might do what you desire, and knowing that your will be accomplished, even if we can't see how. May we rest in thee. We pray in Jesus' name.